You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
What's going on, guys? Meridon here. What a stage two playoff. Holy crap. So many good matches. Thanks for joining us, episode 36. We're going to definitely go over some stage two playoffs and the grand finals today. It was a super hype game. I've never been so excited for a game in my Overwatch viewing experience. There we go. Words. I was more hyped for this than I was for the Philadelphia Fusion final game against London last year. So we'll definitely go over the Stage 2 playoffs. We have an All-Star game coming up as well. We'll go over the All-Star game format, the players on the roster, the starting lineups, and the reserves as well. And then there were a few transactions that actually took place with that had the LA Valiant and the Florida Mayhem involved. Other than that, that's really going to do it for tonight's topics. Next week, we'll break down the All-Star game, talk about that. And in the following week, to bridge the gap, I'm looking to do something for the first time. And that is a Stage 2 breakdown to discuss the stage as a whole. And let's see what I can do guest-wise for that as well, because that would be pretty awesome to get a guest on. So, Stage 2 playoffs, they happened. They started last Thursday, very first game, Shanghai Dragons, San Francisco Shock. Shanghai actually took a game off of the San Francisco Shock, which I was really surprised to see. It was the very first one, too. They won 2-1 in Oasis. And then it was all San Francisco from there. 3-2 on Eichenwald, 4-2 on Paris, and 3-1 on Rialto. It was really nice to see the Dragons there. The Dragons are one of those teams that I hold close to my heart. Really enjoy watching them play and their transformation from an 0-40 season to Stage 2 playoffs. Pretty freaking awesome. So that was the first game of the night. The second game of the night was an upset. That would be the London Spitfire versus the Hangzhou Spark. The Spark took care of business. They lost the first game. They dropped the first game at Oasis 2-1. London Spitfires winning that. And then it was all Hangzhou Spark from there. And keep in mind, these were first to three. So they won Blizzard World, Hanamura, and then Gibraltar. 3-0 on Blizzard World, 1-0 on Hanamura, and 1-0 on Gibraltar to knock out the London Spitfires. Now, the London Spitfire, they haven't played very well, but they definitely picked it up this stage, and we'll go more over that in the Stage 2 overview that we're going to have here coming up soon. But they definitely picked it up and obviously did well enough to make a playoff spot and, you know, lost to the Spark, which was definitely interesting. I actually had the London Spitfire win in that one. And then Friday, May 10th, New York Excelsior versus the LA Gladiators, with the NYXL sweeping the Gladiators. I thought that would be a little bit of a closer match. but yeah, 3-0. They went 2-0 on Lijiang, 3-2 on Kings Row, 2-1 on Temple of Anubis to take the LA Gladiators out of the stage playoffs. Another one of those teams that I've been talking about lately, ever since that, I feel like that game where I was physically out there watching them, they kind of got their heads out of the sand and started playing a lot better. But they did drop that 3-0 to NYXL, so NYXL moved on. The Dallas Tool versus the Vancouver Titans, Vancouver won that 3-0. So we got a 2-0 win on Oasis, 3-2 win on Kings Row, and 1-0 on Anubis. So they move on. And this is the matchup that I've been wanting to see. We're going to get into that in here in a second. But Saturday's matches are started the best of four. These are the semifinals. And that was the Hangzhou Spark versus the San Francisco Shock. And the Shock, other than Gibraltar, just beat the living hell out of the Spark. 2-0 on Busan, 3-0 on Blizzard World, 1-0 on Hanamura, and 4-3 on Watchpoint Gibraltar. So the San Francisco Shock move on. Not a big shock. They made it. So they move on to face the winner of the matchup I've been wanting to see this entire season, the NYXL versus the Vancouver Titans. And this, the Titans won 4-1, 4-1, but that was a bit deceiving. And the reason for that is the NYXL were in every game. Titans won 2-1 on Busan, NYXL won 3-1 on Blizzard World, and then it was all Titans from there. 3-2 on Hanamura, 3-2 on Rialto, and 2-1 on Lijiang Tower. That was a pretty good match. I had Vancouver Titans beating them anyway, but it was nice and competitive, and I like that. And the NYXL are proving that they belong up there with the big boys. So that was interesting to finally watch that matchup. But the matchup that I'm pretty sure most people predicted was the San Francisco Shock versus the Vancouver Titans. And man, what a freaking display of just pure awesomeness. Like I'm like kind of lost for words. Like, it was so great to see these two teams go back at it. And San Francisco is trying to go for that revenge of the Stage 1 finals against the Vancouver Titans. And I saw they were talking, Monty and Doe were talking about the Vancouver Titans a little bit beforehand, how that group of guys that's on that team hasn't lost in over a year. This is dating back when they were with Runaway. That right there itself is spectacular, and they have yet to lose a game in Overwatch League. A few other things I really liked, especially about the broadcast, I saw it a few times. I saw this played when I was watching San Francisco play the Spark, and that was the comms for the Shock Titans game or series in Stage 1, and just the smack talking and Sinatra's leadership. Sinatra just, he kind of comes off as like a born leader. Like, he was kind of like gathering the troops together, and when they lost, like, he said something along the lines of, I think I'm going to cry. He's like, it's okay. Like, all right, guys, I'm proud of you. Like, you know, hell of a match. I gained like a lot of respect for that. That was pretty awesome to hear. So the match started. I actually picked the San Francisco Shock to take this one. The first map was Lijiang Tower. San Francisco Shock won that decidingly, 2-0. And then the Vancouver Titans' strongest map, King's Row. I feel like it said 8-0 on that. I may be wrong, but Titans end up winning that. That was such like a hard-fought game. 5-4, they won King's Row. And then they full-held the San Francisco Shock on Paris. They won 1-0 on Paris. So Paris was down 2-1 at that point. I'm like, oh, man, I really don't want my prediction. I don't want to lose it. I really want to see the San Francisco Shock win. I really enjoy watching the Titans, and I think that they are a powerhouse of a team. And we're all seeing that as we're watching these matches. But I wanted a new champion. And I really feel like the San Francisco Shock were on pace to dethrone the Titans and finally give them their first loss. The fourth map was Watchpoint Gibraltar. That was amazing. One of the notes that I had from that match is the fact that Sinatra was averaging 49 seconds in between grabs. He was charging his grabs so quickly. It was ridiculous. It was so impressive and amazing to watch. They won 4-3 on Gibraltar. They then went to Oasis, which is another one of the Titans' strongest maps, and San Francisco 2-0'd them there. And then finally, on Blizzard World, they won. The San Francisco Shock won 2-1, taking home the stage playoff and the $200,000 for their team. It was so, so exciting to watch. It was. I saw a few people online. I think it was Slasher said something along the lines of, "It's nice to see the competitive nature of the league." That's really great, because if you look at it and you step back and you look at the way that the league's been playing out this season, you do have the top three teams in the San Francisco Shock, the Vancouver Titans, and the NYXL, who are these teams that are kind of like firing on all cylinders, except for when NYXL plays Atlanta. That's a whole other story. But these top three teams separate themselves from the rest of the pack so much. And it was nice to see them all get to duel each other again. Now, we got to see San Francisco-Vancouver last stage, but to see that NYXL match and to see how the NYXL match up against the Vancouver Titans was really exciting, because the only time that the NYXL play the Vancouver Titans is on the last day of the season. So it's the only time other than the stage playoffs that they can meet the Vancouver Titans. So that was awesome to see. And it was so great to see the San Francisco Shock take that championship title away from the Vancouver Titans, or at least claim the second stage. Such a great match. Like, I'm kind of like, I'm trying to formulate words to express how excited I was, but it's hard to kind of come up with words how excited I was and how hyped that match is. And I hope that everybody else's viewing experience was like that. I know there were a lot of, like, Twitter was exploding. There were hashtags that were trending. I think San Francisco Shock, or Shock, hashtag Shock the World, was trending in the U.S., which was pretty nice to see. It gives our favorite esport validation. It's just like, okay, people actually care about this, which was great. Yeah, Twitter was exploding with updates and conversation going back and forth, and the Titans, you know, flexing, and then the Shock flexing back when they win. And it was just a great all-around experience on social media, a viewing experience, and it's a tough loss for the Vancouver Titans fans, but I think even as a Titans fan, if I was a Titans fan, I would be happy with that. I mean, sure, yeah, there'd be a little bit of disappointment not to see the Titans lose, but such a hard-fought match. It wasn't a blowout, and that's nice to see, because we've been getting a lot of that throughout the season. And if you even look at the Stage 2 playoffs here, San Francisco Shock Dragons 3-1, Spark Spitfire 3-1, Excelsior 3-0, Vancouver Dallas 3-0, Shock Spark 4-0, Titans Excelsior 4-1, although that one was a little bit more competitive. But we're getting these large margins, and seeing those margins shrink proves that there are some competitive games out there. Let me know what you think on Twitter. We'll throw, obviously, our social media stuff in the outro of this episode. But let me know what you thought on Twitter. Did you have the Titans winning? Did you have the Shock winning? Did you have neither of them winning? Did you have someone like the NYXL pulling that out? Or someone like the Gladiators? Or the Dragons? Let me know what you think. I definitely would like to hear from you. So as of this recording, moving right along to the next subject here, it's May 14th, Tuesday, May 14th. Tomorrow starts the All-Star festivities. I really hope that you guys have seen this. I'm going to definitely link it in the description, but I love these All-Star game jerseys. I want to pull the trigger on one, but I don't want to spend $100 on a jersey again. I already have two jerseys. But I saw the Fusion Carpe and Poco ones, and they're great. The Pacific Division, one of my favorite colors is yellow, but I don't like it as much as the Pacific Division ones. But yeah, great job from the Overwatch League designing them. Into the AM, I'm actually wearing my Into the AM hoodie. They're a pretty awesome company. They're the ones that make these jerseys. I know the Fanatics jerseys are the ones that are on the actual official Overwatch League, or the Overwatch store, the Blizzard store, whatever you want to call it, the store for Overwatch gear. But I know Into the AM makes stuff. I know they were making, I have my Shadowburn jersey that was made by them last year. So they make really awesome stuff, and these jerseys look on point. But that all starts tomorrow. We start off with the Widowmaker 1v1s at 7:37. That's the schedule time. It's a little odd. And these are local time, so that's 7:37 Eastern time. And then at 9 o'clock tomorrow night, we actually get the All-Star game itself, which should be interesting. And then Thursday, we actually have something airing on ESPN2. That's the Talent Takedown. That's at 9 o'clock at night. 9 o'clock at night. I'm just looking at these now. 9 o'clock at night on a Thursday, Eastern time. That's, come on. That really sucks. 9 o'clock at night, the Talent Takedown. And then the All-Star Arcade is at 11:30 at night. So, again, screw you, East Coast. But I wanted to go over a little bit about these modes and who's actually in it in the All-Star game. So I'm going to start off with the Atlantic Division and Pacific Division starters. So from the Philadelphia Fusion, my man Poco. We have Jonak and Pine from NYXL, which I can't recall if Pine's actually played a game. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But it is nice to see him actually it'll be nice to see him out on stage because he's Big Boss Pine. He's awesome. Fusions on the Boston Uprising made it, as well as Carpe on the Philadelphia Fusion and Arc from the Washington Justice. Now on the Pacific Division, I love these picks. Jinmu, Amang, and Yveltal. I'm probably butchering that. All from the Hunters are making it. The Hunters are one of those teams, and I've said it a lot, that have definitely grown on me, and it's mainly because they're bold enough to use those. They're not running goats all the time like the Vancouver Titans are or the San Francisco Shock. They're mixing it up with the Farrah Mercy combos. They're running a ball comp. Like, it's interesting to watch. It's fun to watch because a lot of people don't care for watching goats. I, for one, am kind of indifferent. Sometimes it's annoying. Sometimes I want to see some dive or some 2-2-2, maybe double sniper or something like that, just to mix it up. So the GOATs meta has become stale. And these players, especially Jinmu from the Hunters, have kind of helped create a refreshing experience for everybody when it comes to sitting at home and watching it. We have Fleda and Jaehong from the Seoul Dynasty, also on that team, and Gushue from the Spark, their standout star, in my opinion. So that is the Pacific Division starters. Now, there are a handful of reserves here. For the Pacific Division, there's Mono from the NYXL, Gesture from London Spitfire, Cruz from the Paris Eternal, Saya Player from Florida Mayhem, Dogman from Atlanta Reign, Neko from Toronto Defiant, Dante from Houston Outlaws, Meko, Anamo, and Nine from NYXL, and then Prophet and Fury from the London Spitfire. That rounds out the reserves for the Atlantic Division. Now the reserves for the Pacific Division, and the second one's kind of disappointing, and there's a few other ones that are a little disappointing that they're on the reserves, but you know, Hunters deserve to be starting, just to kind of mix things up. The reserves for the Pacific are Violet, who's definitely proven himself to be an amazing support, especially in the finals. He's a rookie. Sinatra, which that's one that I'm kind of disappointed in, but hey, whatever. So they're from San Francisco Shock. Slime, Hoxel, and Twilight from Vancouver Titans. Decay from the LA Gladiators. OGE from the Dallas Fuel, Shu from the Guangzhou Charge, Space from LA Valiant, Diem from Shanghai Dragons, Super from San Francisco Shock. That's another kind of disappointing one. And this bottom one is also a little bit of a disappointment that they're not starting. But Bumper, who's been a beast. Bumper and Super, that duel was amazing to watch. So that rounds out the reserves for the Pacific team. Now, to go over a few things, the All-Star Arcade. Well, first off, Before I get into that, there's a few things that are going on for Twitch viewers. So during the broadcast for the All-Star game, and of course my past Twitch account got hacked and Twitch won't get back to me. Thanks, Twitch. You get double league tokens for watching, so definitely make sure to watch. You might be able to get that Lucio skin for free, or Lucio or Mercy All-Star skin for free. So definitely make sure to watch. And if you're not able to watch, at least keep it up so you get those double league tokens. The Command Center is also going to be free. So that's the people that subscribe to the Overwatch or have the Overwatch Pass. And what that allows you to do is it allows you to take a viewpoint of a different character or use different camera angles in the game to have a different viewing experience. I've done it a lot with Jonak. I've always, whenever I'm watching NYXL, I always go over to Jonak. I like watching him play. It's super impressive. And because I have the pass, which is tied to that damn Twitch account, I can go in there and view specific players. I've really been getting into playing Ana, especially with my Overwatch team. So if I see someone jump on Ana, I'll go over and I'll view them and watch their point of view. So it's pretty cool. You get to learn things, which is awesome if you're looking to improve in Overwatch, or if you just want to get your mind blown, you just jump on Jonak and watch him pop off on Zen. It's always pretty impressive. So the 1v1 Widowmaker is the first part of the All-Star Night 1. And the rules are that the top Widowmaker players from the Atlantic and Pacific divisions will complete in 1v1 headshots only elimination bracket. Quarterfinal and semifinal matches are first to 7 eliminations. The final is first to 9. And yeah, Widowmaker only, headshots only, no assault rifle, no capture points, but they reveal enemies after 60 seconds. So that should be really fun. I remember the duel last year between Sure4 and Carpe with Sure4 taking it. That was really, really fun to watch. Other than that, that first night is the official All-Star game where the teams will get together and play just a normal style Overwatch League match, but you know, on their All-Star teams. And the second day is the day where all of us over here back east can apparently go screw ourselves. Is the talent takedown. Atlantic and Pacific Division coaches draft a team of players, casters, and analysts for a 3-map set. And that's a 6v6 lockout elimination, escort, and control. And the players will help cast the match, so a little bit of some role reversal. That was fun to watch last year. It was a little cringy, to be completely honest, but it was a lot of fun to watch. It was fun to watch the casters go up there and watch Reinforce pretty much just wreck everybody because Reinforce is his ex-pro. But yeah, that was a fun match to watch last year. So this one should be pretty good. 9 o'clock again, which really sucks, but 9 o'clock Eastern on Thursday, May 16th. And then the final thing is the All-Star Arcade. These were actually voted on, and you know what? Like, I saw the All-Star game. I was thinking the All-Star game was later, like kind of like how it was last year. So I totally just missed the voting, which is really stupid of me. But map one will be sibling rivalry. So these will be the Overwatch League, the Overwatch All-Star teams going through these different arcade matches. So first one's sibling rivalry. It's 6v6, 3 Genjis and 3 Anzos per team. Attack with the assault map Hanamura. Healers Never Die is 6v6, supports only in a 1 hero limit on Nepal. Terrible Danger is 6v6 damage only, 1 hero limit on Hollywood. Keeping the Peace is 6v6, McCree only on Route 66. And a tiebreaker map, Thanks But No Tanks, is 6v6, no tanks, 1 hero limit on Blizzard World. So that's going to be interesting to watch. I'm definitely going to tune in a little bit tomorrow. We have some practice tomorrow night. Thursday is a little different with our practice schedule for our team, but I'll definitely be checking that out. Thinking about just getting another one of these Overwatch League passes so I can start gaining some tokens here, these double tokens, because I honestly don't want to let that up, and I play Overwatch enough where I can justify that purchase. Other than the All-Star game, I did have two transactions that I wanted to go over. The LA Valiant actually traded Fate to the Florida Mayhem in exchange for three players, McGravy, Fact Fiction, and Shax. It's nice to see Fact Fiction back on an Overwatch League team. I don't know if they'll put them down to like their academy team or back to their contenders team, but it's nice to see him back. Shax and McGravy as well. I am not too familiar with McGravy. I am kind of familiar with Shax, and I feel like I've seen him stream on Twitch. I think that's the only way that I'm familiar with him other than watching contenders. And the other signing actually had to do with the Florida Mayhem. They signed Bream from NRG. So that should be interesting. That is another player that I am not too well versed in. Yeah, I don't really know him very well, but it adds to their all Korean roster and their little facelift that they made when they got rid of Tevic and Apply and Mineral, and that I don't know if you want to call that a mess. I'm not sure. And the reason I say that is because they've still continued to suck, which is very unfortunate for the Florida Mayhem fans. Sorry, Cake. Florida Mayhem making some moves along with LA Valiant. Two teams that I think need to make some moves. Both teams are not performing well at all. The Los Angeles Valiant picked their heads out of the sand in Stage 2 and had a little bit of a better Stage 2 than they did Stage 1. Stage 1 was horrendous. Florida Mayhem continued to have a horrible season in Stage 2, so hopefully in Stage 3 they'll be able to pick that up. Sorry, Mayhem fans. But yeah, hopefully they'll be able to pick that up with their new acquisition of Fate and Bream from NRG. That is going to do it for this episode. I hope that you really did have a good viewing experience. Like I said, definitely let me know what you thought of the finals. It was on ABC, which is pretty nice to give the esport that we love some public airtime. I know a lot of people were complaining about that. I'm guessing that's the older generation that doesn't understand esports. We're complaining that ABC was playing Overwatch League. Those people can kick rocks. So yeah, keep that going on ABC. That's pretty cool. I don't personally have cable to watch it on NBC. I watch it on Twitch, but any exposure that the Overwatch League can get is good exposure, in my opinion. All right, a few things here. Let's throw some social media stuff out there. You can find myself on Twitter at TheMagaming, twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming. Semester's all over. Gonna start streaming a little bit more. So definitely follow me, twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming. You can find our podcast social media at the following, facebook.com/TheOverNerds, at TheOverNerds on Twitter, TheOverNerds@gmail.com. A few other pieces, check out the Mighty Lions, mightylions.org. I'll also link our Discord in the description. Our team's actually looking for an off support tank. Oh my God. I'm all sorts of blue 30 minutes into this. We're looking for an off support. We also run pugs every Friday, so definitely check that out. MightyLions.org. And also click the link to the Discord that will be in the description. Join us. If you're interested in trying out for the support role, send me a PM on Discord and we'll get you set up with a tryout with us. We have a good time. A lot of really good people in that. I was going to say guild, but team. You can also find us on the Geekscape Network. That's geekscape.net. Find your next nerdy podcast today. Our editor, that would be Derek Cranevelt, started his new series on the Xbox Game Pass and playing Xbox Game Pass games. I've been checking it out. I really, really enjoy it. It's kind of refreshing. I feel like I haven't really tuned into very many podcasts that are almost sort of kind of like a Let's Play at the same time. So it's interesting to listen to the action rather than watch and listen to the action. But check that out. It's on geekscape.net. If you like our intro, you know what I'm going to say. I freaking love it. Check out Max Brown on SoundCloud. Makes awesome intros. Has also made another intro for Toxic's YouTube and Twitch stuff. So he does a great job. Check him out. Max Brown on SoundCloud. I will link his SoundCloud to the description. And yeah, that's going to do it. We'll be back next week. Talk about this All-Star game. And then down the road in 2 weeks, we're going to do a season 2 wrap-up. See how that goes. I'm going to start some new things here. Branch out. All right, guys. Take it easy. Thanks for listening. See ya.
Mr. Parrot. Voyager being the material, wine is the vehicle, just like milk for your cereal.
Here we go, blast into the Delta Quadrant, uncharted territory, but we're on it.
So pour me another glass of Cabernet, cause it pairs with a different part of the galaxy. Never in my life was a crew so brave.
Never was a time that I lacked rosé.
But you learn something new each and every day.
To explore new things is a Starfleet way.
Podcast hailing from the Geekscape Nation, talking Star Trek with the wine persuasion.
So you wanna live long and prosper fine, then you better tune in to Seven of Wine.
And this is